It's the introduction to the first edition of the Wide Haven Rugby League Supporters Podcast. Welcome along to all who's listening to this. My name's Dave Farrell. I am a founder member of the Trust and the current chair of the Trust. And today I am joined by...
I'm Paul Stubbs. I'm a current member of the board at the Trust, and I also deal with the memberships, which I inherited, not wantingly, but unfortunately I did when the late John Hurst passed away. And that's me.
That's correct. Good job you're making of it, Paul. So, yeah, much appreciate all the help you give us over the weeks and months and support. So, yeah, the interesting thing is, while most people listening to this may well know me, perhaps I'm being too presumptuous there, but being a Whitehaven lad, born and brought up, went to school in Whitehaven, it's sort of not unnatural that you gravitate towards supporting your local team. But for yourself, that's not the case, Paul.
No, it's a long story, which myself and Dave have talked about a few times. The reason I got involved reason I started watching White is we've got a caravan in St. Bees. And one day I said to my better half, I said, I'm just going down to watch the rugby. And from then on, I was sort of hooked. That's it. Hook, line and sinker. And now helping out with the Trust.
That's right. So you actually get up to St. Bees quite regularly in between your job, Paul. So how many games a season do you probably get to, do you think?
Home games? Yeah. Well, away games are probably home games for me, as we're probably going to touch on later on. Home games, probably five or six a season.
Yeah, that's good.
If not more, because I do tend to come up on a Saturday and go back on a Sunday if my shifts allow it. Yeah. So I do come up for the odd weekend and travel straight back after the game.
Very good. Yeah, so definitely an exiled Whitehaven supporter. The away games tend to work out as your home games. So you over the season, I would say you get to see quite a few Haven games, home and away. Yeah, I do.
As most people can probably tell, I'm not from Whitehaven at all. And if you're keen on dialects, I am from Manchester, born and bred. But hopefully, people up there have sort of adopted me because I do like it up there. I love the place. So.
Absolutely. I think some good photographs going around on social media of you at the last game of last season with a number of Haven stalwarts, and you seem to fit in very well there, Paul.
Well, if you notice, every picture you've got has got a drink in my hand. So, yes, I do fit in quite well, I would think. I'm not want to go any further down that road. But yeah, it was a great day. That it was a fantastic day. When I eventually got there, but that's another story. It was a bit of a hodgepodge of a day. I did get there for kickoff, a few minutes to spare.
So you're from Manchester, but you've sort of followed rugby league in various guises for quite a few years, I believe, from what you told me.
Yeah. I did dabble into playing a long time ago, both at school and at college. I've dabbled in rugby union as well, which was the first thing we ever got taught. Being from a place called Radcliffe, if anybody knows it, which is just outside Bury, part of Bury Metro, everything's rugby union, apart from when I was sort of 16, 17, a team called Bury Broncos started up, and it was only in its very infancy. And they sort of progressed from there. They've never got any further, I don't think.
I think I've seen the name Bury Broncos, so they're still they're still going, still operating. Yeah,
they're still going. And then I don't know whether you want to talk about the work business or what have you, but I started work and everything went by the way then, because I couldn't get Saturdays off. So football went by the way, rugby went by the way. And if you ever like sport, don't work in retail, Dave. There you are.
That's right. I can vouch for that. Yeah, so, but rugby league's by no means your only sporting sort of activity or your sporting life.
No, not at all. As you know, and quite a few people probably up there know, I'm quite active in non-league football. I did play for a time, very, very short time as a youth. And I'm a very keen supporter of, well, they're now called Radcliffe FC. They were Radcliffe Borough, who any people who go and watch Workington Reds up there will know we're actually in a division above them at the moment. We missed out as we went up and Workington went down, so we didn't get a day out in Workington, unfortunately. But which we were looking forward to, weren't we, Dave?
That's right. And with all the goings on in sort of football at all the different levels, it's not going to, we were looking forward to 2021 season to actually do that. But it's not going to happen again. Yeah.
It doesn't look like it. I know there's a few, I know we're talking about football now and not rugby, but there's a few people trying court cases out and seeing how far they can get with it, I think, i.e.
That's
social shields.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know whether Workington are doing the same thing, because they were virtually clear. They were the best team I've seen, because we played them in a friendly at the start of the season and they were way, way better than we were.
Yeah.
And I just feel sorry for them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, shame for the Reds. And as I say, we'd have had a good day out at Radcliffe and another good day out in Workington. Yeah, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll have to see on that. But I think that's got some implications, perhaps some talking points come out of that, which we'll maybe touch on later when we're talking about the current situation in rugby league.
I think we need to. I don't know where it's going to end, to be honest with you, though, and I don't know what ramifications are going to come from this. Having read what you posted the other day about this, is it European Super League they're trying to get going?
That's interesting, yeah. I've also looked back on 1995-96 and the media, the PR about Super League at that point was very much the European Super League, and there was going to be teams in France and potentially teams in other European countries. So far, we've only got Catalans, but I think they've been a great addition. But nonetheless, Super League is still very much an M62 focused sporting competition. If this mooted European League gets up and they get the financial backing, it could cause change and maybe even turmoil in the game in this country.
I think there'll be a big money divide, unfortunately, and I think that's what it's all going to boil down to. Certain teams have got the money. Certain teams haven't, those with the money, i.e. Premier League football. It's going down that route, unfortunately. I think it'll be bad for the game because all the top clubs will want out of it is money.
Yeah. I mean, the problem I see, I mean, soccer's been able to sort of go around the world and put roots down. Rugby league just hasn't been able to do that. Maybe it's a tougher sport or a more difficult sport for people. But for the uninitiated to get into, so going and starting a team in Barcelona or Cologne or Amsterdam, there's a lot of work needs to be done to make it successful. So yeah, we'll see on that one, but it's an interesting thing to watch.
It is. It is. I mean, the money aspect is big, as we know with Toronto. It's happened there.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Watch this space. I think it is.
That's right. But in the meantime, in terms of rugby league over here and rugby league in this country, and in particular the championship, we seem to be no nearer getting any restart, any resolution on the issues that we're all well aware of, such as social distancing and testing and all the stuff like that, which is going to preclude any sport, I think.
I think... Personally, and it is only personally, I think we can forget this season full stop. I don't think there's going to be any competitive rugby this season, other than what's already been. Especially at our level. Super League and might be a different game because obviously it's all about money again. But at our level, unfortunately, I think the ship sailed for this season.
That's right. We'll be talking later in this podcast to James Gordon from loverugbyleague.com, and we'll try and get some update from James on what he knows and what he said through the Rugby League grapevine, through the Rugby League media contacts. So we'll just have to wait and see. As I'd be interested to see what James can maybe share with us later in the podcast. But anyway,
yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, but for now, Paul, we'll just call out, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to James Gordon. Okay, speak to you later, Paul.
Cheers, Dave. See you later.
Computer, and we're recording, yeah. So we move on to the next part of the Whitehaven Rugby League Supporters first episode podcast. And in this part of the podcast, we welcome along James Gordon, who is the editor of loverugbyleague.com. Welcome along, James.
Hi, Dave.
Hi there, how are you doing? Okay, so you're keeping busy in this lockdown period, I believe.
Well, yeah, trying to. Obviously, it's an interesting one for everyone, isn't it? Because work stops in some places, and you know, especially having a job related to sport, it's very difficult when there's no sport going on.
That's right. I'd say sport's been one of the big casualties of the lockdown. As I say, I was looking at the news features going back, and the last time games were played in the rugby league was the weekend of the 15th of March. After that, the rugby league announced that the game was effectively shut down. We've remained that way for the 7 or 8 weeks since then. But just last week, we perhaps got an inkling of that things were changing and that there might be some action and progress within the game coming up. So what's your take on what happened last week? The Rugby League made an announcement on Tuesday. What do you make of that?
I think it's very difficult. Dave, I think it's very difficult to see. I mean, to be brutally honest, and I'm sure probably people listening to this won't like me saying it, but I'd be surprised if Championship and League One could play again in this calendar year. You know, simply because I think if you look at, you know, look at all the money that's in football, and I know obviously the Premier League is sort of pushing to maybe get started again fairly soon. Championship and League One clubs are quite down the food chain. I still think it'll be a while till Super League gets going. And the trouble you've got is, you know, the longer time goes on, don't forget we'd only played, you know, what had we played, 5-6 league games or something like that before it had stopped. So it's like, is there any value in starting a new, you know, continuing this season in September when, you know, the next season would only start in February anyway? So
right.
It's an interesting one. And obviously all clubs are affected differently. So, you know, I speak to various people. I know one of the directors at Rochdale pretty well. And he was saying they're actually not in too bad of a place because they haven't got many players on contract. So a lot of their players were obviously in League One, they're on match pay or whatever. So obviously if they're not playing matches, you know, they don't have to pay. And ultimately a lot of rugby league clubs, you know, your biggest overhead is your player wages, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, and you look at the Championships, so say, you know, Widnes, obviously my team, they furloughed all their players. So, you know, it's like if they were to play behind closed doors and have to bring those players back and then pay those players the full wage but not have the income from, you know, ticket sales or whatever, it'd be very difficult. I think Super League's got a better chance of coming back potentially, but you know, I'm sort of that. I've almost resigned myself to there not being any more games in 2020, but you know, that's just my own personal thing. I'm sure that there's clubs that are desperate to get it back.
Yes, I think we've seen some clear evidence of that last week, because after the announcement from the RFL on Tuesday, there was a meeting called of the Championship clubs. And surprisingly to me, out of that, there was I thought it would have been, as you say, it would have just been, well, we'll close the season down. But far from it, it would appear that there are a minority, but a significant minority of Championship clubs who want to do all they possibly can to get the season back up and running, playing behind closed doors. But it's for all those reasons you've already pointed out. That's fraught with problems.
Every club's different, and every club has got different reasons for doing it. You know, if you own your own stadium, for instance, you're going to want to get back playing because you've got them costs anyway. You know, I know Derek Beaumont's making a lot of noise about Lee because obviously they're, you know, Toulouse, teams like that don't want to have to wait another year to have a shot at Super League because it's quite open this year. So, like, if you look at Lee, Toulouse, Featherstone, London, maybe they're all pretty close. So all four of those clubs would probably have a genuine belief that they could go up. You know, and obviously to then be told, oh, you've got to wait another 12 months. And you know, the other thing is, a lot of players at this level will be on 1-year deals and stuff. So it's like, well, if Lee have built a squad for this season to go up, and then this season doesn't happen, are they going to be able to persuade the same players to come back again next season to have another go?
So, yeah, so as I say, we'd all like to get back into action. We'd all like to see our teams, whether it's Whitehaven or Widnes or whatever, on the field. But it looks like, and I think it was confirmed in one of the papers, the League Express this week, 75% of Championship clubs just want to can the season. I think that was the headlines of the day, wasn't it? So,
yeah. It's because obviously if you resumed, you'd have to, you know, you couldn't play a full season now. I mean, we've missed what, 8-9 weeks, you know, and you don't want to be going into, you know, you don't want to be going into October, November, December playing, because don't forget the new season. You know, if we play next season, it's going to start on in February.
That's right. Pre-season in January. Yeah, so yeah,
that's it. Whether there's an argument to be had that, you know, could you do some sort of shortened season? You know, like where, I don't know, if you've played, I can't imagine anybody's played each other twice yet.
Yeah.
So could you just say, right, you play each team once? But yeah, I just don't see, I don't see any value in playing behind closed doors, because ultimately, the you know, you'll know yourself, Whitehaven will make money from people coming in the ground, you know, whether that's buying tickets or, you know, buying food or whatever. You know, things like match sponsorships and stuff like that, and all that sort of stuff can't happen if you're playing behind closed doors. So
I think it's been interesting, the initial response from the restart of the Bundesliga is that the playing behind closed doors just really didn't float anybody's boat there.
No, and the difference with football, and maybe to an extent with Super League, is that's all a TV revenue thing. Yes. So They're having to do, you know, Premier League are having to do it because they've got to fulfil, you know, billions of pounds worth of TV deals.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose in some ways that's where Super League's at. Super League needs to get some games on Sky so that Sky pay them the money, because ultimately, if Sky don't pay their money, then, you know, you'd imagine half the Super League teams would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. The financial incentive, as I say, for the clubs in whatever sport at the top level is clear, isn't it? You know, the broadcast monies are everything to them. So one would assume they'll do everything in their power to make sure they can fulfil that.
Yeah, there's obviously a tipping point at some point where, you know, and I probably say this in rugby league, is there's obviously a tipping point between when the TV money is more important than the ticket revenue. And I think it's pretty obvious where the tipping point is in rugby league, is that in Super League, the TV money is more important, but in Championship, the ticket revenue is more important.
Yeah,
and that's not to say that the Super League clubs, you know, don't need the ticket money, because obviously they do. But I think they'd probably be a bit more comfortable playing behind closed doors than Championship teams would be, because at least they'd still be getting that money in from the Sky deal.
Yeah, it's interesting. Australia's about to, the NRL's going to front up and play games just in the next week or so. It'll be interesting to see how that one works out.
Yeah, I mean, Australia's, you know, the coronavirus hasn't really been massively, you know, certainly nowhere near the scale of what we've had over here, because obviously Australia's quite a big country. And it's quite sparse. There's not very many dense areas of population in Australia, so it hasn't spread as much. So I think obviously it'd be nice to watch the games. I think they did play around behind closed doors, didn't they? Before
that's right.
Before the lockdown. So I watched a couple of games. I mean, to be honest, the fans. I mean, in Australia, you don't necessarily notice the fans so much anyway. It's not maybe like over here. So you know, you don't necessarily notice that the grounds are empty.
The one thing I noticed when they're playing the games at the Olympic Stadium, which quite a lot of the Sydney clubs actually play their own games there, the crowds just swamped in the stadium anyway.
That's it. So I don't think, I mean, yeah, obviously it's a bit quieter and whatever, but I don't think, certainly not to the extent that you notice it in football, you know, like where there's an empty crowd. So, you know, it'll be good, obviously, when that starts, because at least it gives us something to watch.
Create a bit of interest in the game again, something to report on.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, yeah. So,
So I think we've probably covered where the games are at the moment. Looking forward, James, I think what you're saying is we might get Super League back at some point.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I think the Super League chairman are making a lot of noise, aren't they, about playing behind closed doors. I'm still a bit dubious about it because I just think that the amount of testing that they're going to need to do, you know, can they afford to do it? Yeah. You know, obviously, I think I've read somewhere that the Premier League's already spent £4 million or something on testing players or getting the infrastructure in place to test players. And I think that's one area that maybe the Super League, I don't know, but part of me wonders at what point does it become, you know, the TV money's worth obviously a certain amount, but at what point does the cost of testing effectively make the money you're going to make from TV revenue, defeat the object? If you're going to gain 10 million by playing, you know, but testing's going to cost 5 million, well, you know, maybe you do it. But if those numbers are close together, and then the other point is you'd need the testing, you'd obviously need to pay the testing money up front, you know, and you know what it's like cash flow wise for a lot of these clubs, could you imagine clubs having to pay to have tests and then half the squad tests positive and they can't play?
Yeah, well, that's something that perhaps hasn't been factored into the thinking thus far, is it?
I don't know. I worry about that. I worry about that side of things. And again, you know, I think the problem is because nobody knows when it's going to start either. There's no way you could play a full season now.
Yeah,
you know, so they'd have to amend the season, but obviously you can't do that until you know when you're going to start, because you know if you say right we're going to start 1st of July, well, obviously that's different than if you start on 1st of August, you can get 4 or 5 extra games in. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think there's a lot of noise coming out of Super League clubs, but there's not really a great deal of substance behind much of it.
Yeah, so I think you're saying, you know, You're hopeful, but not particularly optimistic.
I'd be very surprised if Championship play this season. Yes. I'd be less surprised if Super League does play, but I still feel like there's a hell of a lot of, you know, obviously, you know, when you look at the, you know, as much as the Premier League and football are still talked about, they've still not started.
Absolutely.
You know, they've still not said when they're going to start. So, If the Premier League's still 4 weeks away, you can't imagine Super League's going to be months behind where the Premier League is. You know,
I think that's a realistic review of where we're at, really. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if ultimately Premier League are doing it because they've only got so many games left and they want to get it finished, which is fine. Whereas there's not that urgency for Super League to do it. If Premier League didn't play, there'd be an outrage because Liverpool wouldn't win the league. Whereas if Super League doesn't play, there's not going to be any of that outrage because it's only early in the season.
We're just at the start of matters, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other thing you've got to consider is you've got Toronto and Catalan in there. You know, how does it even work with them? Because, you know, they're not going to be able to play in France. They're not going to be able to play in Canada. I mean, the Toronto thing's different because they're largely based over here anyway. But for Catalan, you're effectively having to say to their squad, well, they're all going to have to live over here for 3, 4, 5 months. Would you move away from your family for 4 or 5 months for work? I'm not sure, you know, when it's not in your contract to do so. I'm not sure. I don't think I would do that.
All these side issues and little complications, which as I say, are very real and haven't been addressed but need to be before the game can really click back into action again. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's just a typical rugby league thing though. I seen a report in the Guardian this week about they want to reduce the salary cap or something like that, and you know, which, you know, I just think, well, how can you have a league where you've got a Canadian and a French team in, but then you're reducing the salary cap.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't make any sense. And it's like, I think that's rugby league's problem is a lot of the a lot of the different facets to it just don't add up.
To get the best players in, you've got to be able to pay the going rate, and as they're reducing the salary cap, makes that less possible.
I think there's obviously there's a handful of clubs in Super League that are sort of using their power for their own benefit. So, you know, not the top clubs, but clubs that are in Super League who are sort of living off the Super League money. You know, four or five clubs that maybe if you took them out and swapped them with Bradford, Lee, you know, Toulouse, you wouldn't notice any difference particularly. Yeah. But because they're at the dinner table, they can vote in a way that suits them. And I think that's part of the issue at the moment, because you can't tell me that Warrington, Saints, Wigan would want to reduce the salary cap. I don't believe they would want to do that. So obviously the motivation for doing it is obviously coming from somewhere else.
From lower down. Yeah. Anyway, James, that's been a good half an hour there. We've sort of got a view on where the game's at the moment. Still lots of questions and lots of issues. And I think the thing is, if we get, you know, I think the Championship needs to look to 2021 now. And let's see if Super League can actually get up and running this year. But as I say, thanks for your contribution there. We'll keep in touch with you, and hopefully we'll speak again soon on a future podcast, James, if we can.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Okay, yeah. So thanks to James Gordon, editor of loverugbyleague.com. Bye until the next time, James. Thank you. Okay, so we're back again, Paul. I've spoken to James there. Some interesting comments. But we'll just move on now. One of the purposes of this podcast is for people involved with the Trust perhaps to speak a little bit about themselves and about their interest in rugby, some of their favourite memories. We maybe try and touch on that now if we can, Paul. But first, just want to say, just for the people listening, while we're in lockdown and lots of people have been furloughed, that hasn't been the case with yourself. You're a key worker and been doing providing sterling service to the public of Manchester over the last 7 weeks or so.
Yeah, there has been. How can I say? It's been strange, really. At work, there's been 200 people furloughed. Me being a senior member of the staff, as such, I'll come on to that in a minute. But I've not been furloughed. I've been wicked. I'm still on the shift pattern I was on before. And for those people who don't know what I do, I'm actually a tram driver in Manchester. So we're actually ferrying people about the city, so on and so forth. And the job I do entails taking key workers to work, who obviously work in hospitals, government places, so on and so forth. And being, like I said, being a senior member, I can drive every line in Manchester. So while people who can only drive 2, 3, 4, 5 lines have been furloughed, unfortunately, the old fella here with the beard is unfortunately having to work. Or fortunately having to work, to be honest with you, because I think I'd be bored out of my tree at home.
Yeah, well done, Paul. As I say, you know, we all come out and applaud the key workers and the carers and everybody on Thursday night. And as I say, you've been out doing your bit for the city of Manchester there. So, you know, well done. So, working as you do means that sometimes you can't get to games at weekends, but sometimes you can. Have you managed to get to any games this weekend? Have you managed to get to any games this year?
The only one I've actually been to, and I had, believe it or not, I had quite a few penciled in for this year, because obviously we were meant to play Swinton, Oldham, Dewsbury, so on and so forth. The only one I've actually been to was the game at Widnes.
Correct.
When at half time, I thought we were in with half a chance. In fact, I thought we were in with more than half a chance.
I think that's been the story of most games this year, apart from the odd one. I think we, as a team, we've been competitive, and we've certainly had a foot in the door in most games. Unfortunately, we've tended to fade, but that's credit to the coaching staff and to the players. And as I say, you know, I'd like to think we maybe weren't too far away from getting a win.
Well, you can't do nothing but applaud the effort that was put in that day. Everybody give 110%, and for the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes, when unfortunately I believe Widnes are full time, fitness told, and they ran us ragged in the last 7 minutes, quarter of an hour. But I've been to one game, but believe it or not, I've seen every game, because being a member of the trust, obviously I get access to every game. So on a Monday morning, I would, if I wasn't working, I would sit down and I'd watch the games. So I have seen every game. And it was, as you said, Dave, it was coming right. I think it was just that fraction from the first sort of decent win.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen next, as I say, you know, it's clear that, you know, we can't really say anything for certain now, but should the option of this season being cancelled and restart again next year, I think that's going to be a big help to the coaching staff and officials at the club, because they can reassess the squad on the light of those, in the light of those games, and hopefully address the areas where we can improve and get fresh blood in to give us an even better chance of succeeding in 2021.
I think we were struggling, and it would have been a long season for us this season. But all we would have, well, I'm pretty certain all we was looking to do was consolidate a championship place.
That's right. Success would have been survival. That's the bottom line on it.
Promotion to Super League would have been ecstatic, but
Well, we can but dream.
We can but dream. Yeah.
So, obviously, Paul, you've been supporting Haven what now for the best part of a decade, from what you see.
Something around there, Dave.
So looking back over the decade, what sort of memories stand out from the Haven games you've actually been along to?
I think one that really stands out for me was, I was there with you, I do believe, the Workington away game, the Good Friday, yes, when we absolutely battered them. There was no referee turned up. The referee was stuck on the motorway.
That's right. So we spent another hour in the pub, didn't we?
So this is going down a similar route as before this, isn't it? We did spend another hour in the pub, but unfortunately I was driving. But yeah, I think that was something else, that was really. And again, another one that does stand out, I don't know, a lot of people will remember this. It was when I forget who had the rights to the games. It's on a Thursday night, and we played away at Lee against Swinton. And we were losing. The hooter went, and I do believe we kept the ball alive for something like...
Yes, I
think. Two and a half minutes?
I think I know the game you refer to, yeah. And
what, it was...
Must be last, something approaching a record, that, I think.
I think it is a record, to be honest with you, from what I can gather. And I don't know who it was, put a kick into the corner. high. And Jesse got his fingertips to it. And he went through his fingertips right at the last minute.
And if he'd held it, we'd have won the game.
Well, we'd have had a kick for to draw the game. To draw the game. But yeah, they're probably the two that do stand out. Disappointing games was the when we got beat by Barrow at Barrow in the playoff final. When we had a try disallowed that I didn't think should have been disallowed at all.
That's right. I think the video afterwards.
I think it was Roper caught the ball cleanly and went over.
Went over, that's right, and the ref disallowed it, yeah.
The referee said it was a knock-on and he actually caught the ball cleanly. But that's... I've had some good times, I must admit. And one of the big highlights was last season away at Coventry. We spoke about this before. It was a fantastic day, a fantastic atmosphere. Everybody was in a party mood. But the biggest disappointment for me out of the whole day was the ground. We were expecting something fantastic. The Webb Ellis Stadium. This is going to be fantastic. And I'm not joking. It was like, I don't know. It was like a third-rate bomb shelter. It was terrible. But that's when they pulled up, I said, this can't be the right place. And the taxi driver went, it is. Oh, no. Yeah. Sorry. Not my...
I see Simon Taylor put a thing on Facebook recently asking people the worst ever away grounds, and quite a lot of people sort of gave that as the worst ever away ground of it.
Yeah, there's a few. I remember going to the old Station Road when there was holes in the floor of one of the stands and things like that.
Yeah,
that's going back a few years.
That's right. Some of the old grounds. Amazing. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, that's been interesting to get your recollections and your reminiscences, Paul. And hopefully we'll be able to get back to some action in the not too distant future. But in the meantime, just like to thank you for being part of this first edition of the Whitehaven Rugby League Supporters Podcast. This podcast is going to become a regular feature, and we'd ask people if they want to get involved to get in touch with us, then get in touch with us through our email, trustinhaven@gmail.com. And if you know, we'd be delighted to have other people on. It would have to be remotely at this time, but it can be done. We're actually doing this interview remotely now. So as I say, you know, hopefully Paul will be back at some point in the future, but chance for other supporters to come and have the say here on the Whitehaven Rugby League podcast. So as I say, once again, to get in touch with us, to give us ideas and to and whatever, it's trustinhaven@gmail.com. The website is www.trustinhaven.com, and you'll find us on Facebook, on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. So get in touch, folks. Let us know what you think. Thanks to Paul for being a willing volunteer for this first ever podcast. And we look forward to speaking to you all again soon. Thank you, Paul.
Cheers, Dave. Stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe, yeah.